The views and opinions expressed in the show do not represent those of Hutton Broadcasting or its employees.
This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome to my radio show, Natural Medicine. This is March 22nd, 2014. I've been a DOM for about 10 years. I've published articles in Wellbeing Journal, Journal of Orthomolecular Medicine, and posted on the site for the Foundation for Alternative and Integrative Medicine. The contact phones for me, the clinic where I work, along with one of my guests, Robert, is 505-424-9527. And the call-in phone number here at the radio station, in case you have questions for any of the three of us, is 505-424-4550. And we do love call-in questions. I've got two guests with me today. We're going to have a show on a combination of intestinal and other physical problems. And the two guests are going to be Robert Campbell, DOM, who's been on my show before, twice, I believe, and also Wendy, who in this case is the patient. And what I'd like to do is turn it over to Robert now just to introduce himself.
My name is Robert Campbell. I am a licensed doctor of oriental medicine here in the state of New Mexico, and utilize acupuncture, herbs, vitamins, minerals, quite a bit of nutrition in the treatment of health issues, even strange ones.
In fact, you have a sort of a history of dealing with strange ones because in conventional terms, many of the diseases that you end up treating are what I call NKC squared, or no known cause, no known cure.
That's correct.
And now I want to pass it over to Wendy and just give us, start with some background.
Hi, good morning. This is Wendy. For some information, I did grow up with some emotional and physical trauma during childhood. I did experience a bad divorce. I am a single mother of two children since they were babies. And I also did have staph infection when I was a baby, and they did give me a lot of antibiotics during that time.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things, a lot of things that sort of imprinted some adverse conditions on you throughout your life.
I believe so.
Yeah. And but now let's get into the most serious problems. I'm trying to figure out if they started approximately 20 years ago. Why don't you tell us some about that?
So when I was about 25 years old, I started to experience something that I now know is called ulcerative proctitis. It was bloody stools, urgent bowel movements, mucus, a lot of pain in my abdomen. And quite frankly, it scared me. Really, it scared me a lot. So I did go to a conventional doctor at the time, and they wanted to put me on heavy drugs, heavy steroids. And I never did do the heavy steroids.
Now, what was the reason why you sort of rejected the heavy drugs and the steroids?
It was just an intuitive thing at the time. I just did not want to be on heavy medicine.
Mm.
Well, I actually didn't have a lot of knowledge why. It was intuitive.
What I'm thinking is that if somebody's going to try to tell you to take this heavy duty drug, okay, they better come up with a real good explanation of how that drug works and how it's going to help you. Did you ever get that?
Right. No, I really didn't. It was just, you have this symptom, and so we're going to give you this heavy drug for it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is when I lived in New Hampshire, and the doctor there actually didn't say I had to take the medicine, and he did try to work with me through dietary measures. So I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see.
So what were some of the problems with the proctitis?
Well, I mean, I would get it once a year. I could have it 3 to 4 months a year. And I mean, I don't think you're not really absorbing. So mm-hmm. you're dehydrated. You're just basically not healthy. You know, you have bloody stools all mm-hmm. the time, and it's embarrassing. I mean, it's hard to talk about over the radio, but it's a difficult illness to have. You have colonoscopies every year, you know, is what I mm-hmm. would start to have a colonoscopy every year. And then you have fear. You just basically live in fear of the next one. And then you mm-hmm. think that maybe you're going to have cancer because that's, uh-huh. it's just, so it's fear driven.
So the two things that are fearful are, oh, we did the colonoscopy and we found cancer, so we're going to have to operate. Or we did the colonoscopy and your colon is such bad shape that we think it should be removed.
Yeah, that's been the most recent diagnosis. So within the last, I think it was 2.5 years ago, I was told that my colon would need to be removed. And I pretty much looked at that doctor and, you know, just, I knew I was done with him at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So...
So, and now the proctitis wasn't your only major symptom as of about 1.5 to 2 years ago. You had one other major painful symptom or a painful collection of symptoms and problem.
Right. So, I've been diagnosed from conventional medicine with Sjogren's syndrome, which it's kind of, it means you have a high rheumatoid factor. I had horrible pains in both of my shoulders. I thought this possibly was from Sjogren's because it's like an it's an autoimmune mm-hmm. disorder is what it is.
Yeah.
Horrible pains in the joints. I went to Pennsylvania a few years ago, stayed in my father's cabin, and I wondered if I had gotten bit by something or because my parotid gland swelled up huge. So after that trip, I came back to New Mexico, had my blood tested, and that was when it showed that I had the mm-hmm. high factor. High sedimentation rate.
Yeah, okay. Now, we definitely want to get a picture or get an idea of how severe these pains were. You were telling me about sometimes waking up at night and you needed to move your arm. And
oh, yeah. I would have to physically lift my arm with my other arm just to move it.
Because it was so painful, you couldn't actually move it on its own.
I couldn't move it on its own.
Mm-hmm. and these pains were primarily upper body. Well, obviously shoulder. How about elbow? Or
primarily shoulder. Possibly in the elbow, but the shoulder was so painful I didn't recognize the elbow at the time.
Okay. All right. Now, sometime around 2 years ago, I met you as part of a class in the massage school at one of the massage schools in Santa Fe. Just tell me your reactions to that.
So Dan's right. I took a class, anatomy and physiology. I was real happy to be able to take this class, and it was very, very informative. I learned a lot, and it really got me thinking on a number of different issues. So I would take all the information he gave, and then I would go back and read more, you know, and so every class was very engaging. And so as I took the class, I started to become comfortable with asking questions to Dr. Cobb. And one of them eventually became, you know, I told him that I had the ulcerative proctitis, and I asked him who was the best acupuncturist that I could go to in Santa Fe. And I knew he was an acupuncturist, and but I said for proctitis specifically.
Yeah.
And he referred me to Dr. Campbell.
Yeah. And I usually, you know, when I hear about a case that I think is going to require herb formulas, I think I gotta involve Robert in it because he is head and shoulders above me when it comes to herb formulas. And I thought this was going to be the case. So I said, you know, I connected him up, gave him the phone number, and started the treatment. Now, Robert, why don't you, we have a few minutes before the first break here, and why don't you start in a little bit of the discussion about, first meeting Wendy, collecting information, you know, coming up with a treatment.
Sure, Dan. When Wendy first came into my office and explained to me what she had been diagnosed through conventional medicine previously, and her situation where she had to get colonoscopies on a regular basis, and also discussing that she'd have to have her colon taken out, I suspected that she had some type of parasite in her system that had never been addressed. The fact that she also mentioned that she had grown up in the Poconos area in Pennsylvania, drinking out of streams since at a very young age, further supported my suspicions. From a Chinese medicine point of view, this would be some type of, we would describe it as a pathogen or a damp heat toxin in the large intestine, the lower jaw, the colon, however I want to describe that particular area of the body from a TCM point of view. And at an Ayurvedic medicine point of view, that would be also considered a high pitta in the colon. And so what happens is if there's an amoeba in the system and it had never been cleared out or been addressed or been even diagnosed even. So what happens is if you have bad water, or water that's got tiny microorganisms, amoebas and so forth, or food that has been washed with contaminated water, and so the food isn't cooked well and thoroughly and so forth, and depending on the individual's digestive metabolism, how strong their digestive system is. So if they actually produce enough stomach acid, then they're going to be less susceptible. If they're producing low or secreting low stomach acid, they're going to be more susceptible to amoebas and microorganisms, especially since one of the things that I don't recall it had been mentioned a little bit with the staff when she was growing up. So with antibiotics, that affects your gut flora. And so Wendy had been diagnosed and treated for staph infections when had growing up. As a young child and so forth, and the very fact of being put on antibiotics without any type of probiotics to replenish the gut flora, that further predisposes an individual for a situation such as this. And so I immediately looked at, we had done some vitamin charts, mineral charts, and probiotic charts.
Robert, why don't you just take a minute to describe what you mean by a vitamin chart or a food chart or a probiotic chart.
So what we mean by vitamin chart, mineral chart, or probiotic chart is it's a very unique type of charting system. And with the charting system, we use applied physiology. Some individuals describe it as muscle testing or kinesiology or what have you. And so I basically, after checking the patient's pulse, looking at their tongue, checking points in the body, each person has a unique energetic signature. From a scientific point of view, the brain puts out neuroelectrical impulses. In addition to that, the blood contains iron. And that iron is magnetic. So whatever you think, feel, believe, whatever you do, whatever you don't do is all recorded. And that blood goes through each of your cells in your body and each of your tissues and into your muscles. And so with that innate intelligence, I'm able to detect what the body is needing and not needing, what's toxic, what's not toxic, and what's beneficial and not beneficial and so forth. And so...
Robert, at this point, we're going to go to a break.
Okay.
In a couple minutes, we'll come back and you can continue this very interesting story.
All right, great.
All is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine, where we're here. I'm here in the studio with Wendy and Robert Campbell, DOM, and we're talking about an interesting case of Sjogren's and proctitis. But before we get back to the show, I do want to say that Joe's Dining has provided us with some gift certificates, $15 gift certificates, which we give to the first person to call in on any particular show. And by the way, we love call-in questions. So if you got a question for myself or Robert or Wendy, give us a call at 505-424-9527. So, Robert, let's continue on with the talking about, you're talking about muscle testing and diagnosing and how it happens, and keep going with that.
All right. Thank you, Dan. So as I was stating before, the brain puts out neuroelectrical impulses and your blood contains iron. The iron is magnetic. So just like a videotape, audio cassette, all the magnetic particles on the video cassettes or audio cassettes, as an example, they're aligned in a certain way. So everything is recorded. All the information is recorded.
So this is one way to deliver information from one part of the body to the other.
That is correct.
Or conceivably for a skilled person skilled in muscle testing to deliver that information from the patient to the practitioner.
That's correct.
Okay.
You got it. And so with the nutritional charting systems, I have all the vitamins listed there with a very unique scale from most highest need to the least and to certain ones that need to be avoided. I can detect specifically for that particular patient what that patient needs vitamin-wise, mineral-wise, probiotic-wise. And we also do the same thing with foods, with 5 pages of foods and substances. And all my patients, though, they can tell you all about it.
Go ahead, I would like to tell you that I actually carry the food chart around with me.
Oh. Yes.
Well, I mean, I did for a while because I would be like at the grocery store, can I eat this or not? And it has really been great. The food chart is wonderful.
So Robert, the history on the food chart and these other charts is some people really get into them and they follow them very precisely. And they tend to get very good results.
That's true. That's true, Dan.
But not everybody goes along with it.
That's true also.
And Wendy is probably one of these kids. Well, I know Wendy is a very precise person.
You cannot hide anything from Dr. Campbell. When he says, show me your tongue, you know that he's going to know exactly what you've been up to.
So you just might as well give in and just go along with it.
So I usually confess if I've had something that I shouldn't have had, like a chai or something, uh-huh. You know, I'll just tell him right off the bat. But I do 90% of the time follow him.
This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. I'm here in the studio with Wendy and Robert Campbell, DOM, and we're talking about a case of proctitis and Sjogren's syndrome. And Robert, why don't you continue on with your description of your treatment?
Okay. So one of the things that, some of the things I put Wendy on as we were discussing with the nutritional testing profile, vitamin C and bioflavonoids, specifically for the immune system. Vitamin C goes on the outer wall of the cell, which is ascorbic acid. Bioflavonoids, such as rutin, hesperidin, and so forth, go in the cell, and they protect and strengthen the cell from within. In addition to that, vitamin E, and there are different kinds of vitamin E. There are 4 different tocopherols or tocopherols and 4 different tocotrienols. And so depending on what and which types of the vitamin E had come up, and that's what I'd given Wendy, also some magnesium and zinc. Magnesium and zinc are each responsible for over 300 enzyme systems in the body. Also had given her probiotics to help balance the gut flora. And there's so many different strains of probiotics and different ones that I give out here in, out of our clinic. And so generally speaking, you have your lactobacillus strains, which are more specific for the small intestine, and then you have your bifidum strains, which are more specific for the colon. Herbal formula-wise, I'd given a formula that I've developed. It's called pulsatilla formula or pulsatilla compound. It has a Chinese herb and named Baito Wang, which is pulsatilla, as well as some other herbs in the formula to correct and balance out intestinal dysbiosis, help clear out microorganisms and protozoas and so forth. There's a particular homeopathic that I had given Wendy. It's called Amoeba Fuge, which also works on amoebas from a homeopathic point of view. Fish oil, flax oil, and specific foods on the food chart. Minimize sugars, fruits, a lot of leafy green vegetables, cooked, sautéed, stir-fried, steamed. Not really so much raw. Also minimize water from contaminated sources. Make sure any food, any vegetables that are washed well without any, you know, with water that's not contaminated, so free of amoebas and pathogens and so forth. And this, actually, the amoebas, when the amoebas get in your gut flora, or actually in your gut lining, rather, and you don't have the gut flora to protect your gut lining, then you have inflammation occurring in your gut. There's pores open up in the microorganisms of the protozoa. They go through the pores, and then they circulate throughout the entire bloodstream. Then those little microorganisms, protozoa, amoebas, they lodge in the joints. And this is oftentimes what causes something such as rheumatoid arthritis. And in addition to that, one of the prescriptions that from a conventional point of view that they prescribe is methotrexate, which coincidentally works on a malaria type of parasite. So if you think some amoeba, some protozoa, some microorganism, you know, so there's a certain part of conventional Western medicine that acknowledges and knows this, but mainstream conventional medicine, they do not, and therefore cannot effectively address these types of inflammatory types of diseases.
So Robert, so you began your treatment, and we want to get into some of the results of the treatment. And in fact, I believe that you got some good results very, very quickly. Why don't you describe that one?
That's correct. After Wendy came in for the treatment, we put her on this protocol here. Right after the very first treatment, had not had any mucus or blood. Right after the very first treatment.
Okay, so before she came in the very second time, which was, what, a week or two later or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
The most major...
significance.
Yeah, the proctitis seemed to have leveled right out, calmed down, or disappeared.
That's correct.
Now, Wendy, has this come back at any time since then?
No, I have zero symptoms for ulcerative proctitis.
Okay, and this has been more than a year?
Greater than a year,
okay,
yes.
Not quite a year and a half, but so that was a pretty significant positive step that happened almost immediately.
And there have been a few stressful situations that I've undergone, and that used to be the trigger for my proctitis.
Right.
So I'm not getting it, even though I've had some stress.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And another thing, let me see. So it looks like your proctitis, your colon problems are, you know, pretty much gone. And then... how has this affected your relationship with your primary care physician?
Well, I've chosen to not continue to go to the one that I had been going to for years.
Why was that?
Because I told her that the gastroenterologist told me I needed to get my colon removed, and I told her there was no way that was going to happen, and she knew I was going to acupuncture, and she knew that she just knew I was going to acupuncture. And
well, did she know that you had this success with, pretty much?
Yes, I had told her that I had zero symptoms, and then it was strange because I went to her one day, and she kind of said to me, she said, well, you do know that you most likely will have to have your colon removed at some point. And I could not believe those words came out of her mouth. And that was the last day I went to her. And since then, I found a new doctor.
Yeah. Okay, good.
A conventional medicine doctor.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to another problem that you had that we haven't brought up yet. And this was mercury fillings. About how many did you have, Wendy?
It was about 10 or 11.
Okay, and some of them were pretty substantial size.
Yeah, like 9 of them were huge.
Uh-huh, okay. And probably from my class back at the massage school and Robert in his treatment, were both probably telling you, that's a limit on your health. It limits how far you can, how much better you can get.
Absolutely.
And so mostly at Robert's recommendation, you proceeded to have them removed.
It was definitely Dr. Campbell's recommendation, and I kept telling him, but it costs a lot of money. And he kind of really said, point blank, you really just need to do this. And I walked out of the office that day, and I thought, I'm just going to do this. It doesn't matter how much money it costs. This is my health. So I am mercury free, and I have never felt clearer mentally in my entire life. So that's really awesome.
Okay. So now, in conjunction with removal of the mercury, any other effects energy wise or?
I just feel really healthy. Uh-huh. The healthiest and the clearest thinking that I've, mm-hmm. ever experienced.
Right. And also, Robert, from our perspectives, we're looking at mercury as something that really hammers the immune system down. So that when you're trying to fight the amoebas or rebuild tissue, mercury is sort of a general case cloud on your system. So we suspect that the mercury removal has something to do with maybe the drop off in the rheumatoid arthritis reading, among other things.
That's correct, Dan. One of the tests that we had done before on Wendy was a TSH or a thyroid screening. Her previous test before she had come to see me, her TSH was at a 19. 19 point something.
And you better tell them where that sits in terms of normal ranges.
Normal range, it shouldn't be any higher than 4.5. After she had the mercury removed.
Down to a 6.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry, I just didn't know if you remembered.
Good.
So after she had the mercury fillings removed, that number from 19 point had gone down to a 6.
So it's not quite entirely within the normal range, but it's a whole lot closer than it used to be.
Oh, yes. And that was in a very short period of time. And we had the test done very shortly after she had the mercury fillings removed. Coincidence?
Well,
muscle testing? I don't know. The lab tests don't lie.
Right. So I think we want to go to another break now, and we'll come back in a few minutes with the concluding segment. Thank you. Thank you. This is Daniel Cobb, Doctor of Oriental Medicine, and welcome back to my radio show, Natural Medicine. We're here in the studio with Wendy and Robert Campbell, DOM. And Robert, before the last break, was talking about some lab tests for Wendy's TSH. And there was one more comment we neglected to put in.
Wendy had actually had the thyroid test, or her blood work, of which the thyroid screening was done by two different labs. And just to...
And this is partly because Wendy... Just say it. Well, you said, well, I don't necessarily trust those labs.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, there's just talk of one of these labs doesn't give precise data. So I went and had it done with another lab.
So the level of certainty on this is reading. It's not an accident. You know, it went from 19 to 6, and it was confirmed, you know, the readings are very, very close in both, you know, both labs. Now, Robert, there's also, you know, what about adrenal glands? Or Wendy, you know, adrenal glands have to do with, you know, just an energetic nature. Instead of dragging yourself through your life, you seem more up to it. Do you notice any change in things related to that, you know, energy level?
I find that I, like I mentioned before, I do have more energy. And I mean, I just wake up with more energy. It's wonderful. So,
and one thing we really didn't get into yet, which I should have followed through on, is we saw that the proctitis went away. What about the Sjogren syndrome, or the which is tied in your case to, let's say, joint pains?
So I currently don't have any joint pain in my shoulders. And I figured, I started to think this is just something I'm going to have for the rest of my life. That's where my mind went.
Okay, like a year, year and a half, 2 years ago.
Right.
This is just my life. I have shoulder pain.
I kind of thought this
time.
Is it. Right.
Yeah.
And the moving of the arm in the middle of the night, because it's been stiff for so long, I can't move it. And pain during the day. So that has gone away completely.
Completely. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's really cool. I'm really pretty happy about that. And my proctitis, I am symptom free.
Right. So Sjogren syndrome is also, like I said before, one of those things that's no known cause, no known cure. So your prognosis for the proctitis from conventional sources was, well, eventually we'll take your large intestine out.
Yeah, it would be taken out.
Right. And what was the prognosis from conventional sources for the Sjogren syndrome?
I'm almost afraid to say that one over the air, but I had gone to a conventional medicine doctor, and I happened to talk to the nurse practitioner that day. So she wasn't even really qualified to say what she said, but she told me if I did not take the medicine that they prescribed, I could be dead in a week because one of my organs would shut down. Ooh. Scout's honor, that's what she said.
No, you didn't take the medicine.
I have never taken heavy medicine. I just absolutely refuse taking steroids or whatever.
So, you know, these two very, very major problems that were sort of, you know, affecting your whole life.
Affecting my life, yes.
And are gone.
That's why I drove 50 miles to come here this morning. My son is home from college and he wants to see his mama. And I'm on my way out of here as soon as this is done. But I wanted people to hear this. I'm very thankful that I met Dr. Cobb first, who then recommended me to Dr. Campbell. And it is a success story. And I will continue to go to acupuncture. I go every other week and I follow my food chart and I take my supplements. And I will always continue to try to eat better. I just think I can always do better at that.
Yeah. And this sort of an idea that we have in our clinic is that, you know, a disease doesn't necessarily mean that you need a drug or you need this particular surgery. It probably means that maybe there is a nutritional problem. Maybe you're undernourished. Maybe there's a buildup of, you know, a toxic buildup that needs to be removed. You know, we pretty much, to a certain degree, we base our medicine on an idea that's common to just about every culture, every language, every country. They all have a phrase which means you are what you eat. And so, Robert, is this a, you know, tell us how this is can be a big way to guide us to our treatments.
As far as you are what you eat, a lot of it also has to do with you are what you assimilate. A lot of individuals eat certain foods that they think that are healthy for them or believe that they're healthy for them. But when we do the food chart, which is all customized because each individual patient is different from one another, no two food charts are exactly the same as one another. And because everything is customized, we have these unique customizable results that each of the patients experience. And pertaining to the food chart, as far as you know, the types of foods to for a particular person to eat, the food chart starts out with the different grains and then goes through the, after the grains, then you have the different types of bread, so many different types of bread and different dairy, substitute dairies, alternative dairies, you know, different cheeses and so forth, hard cheeses, soft cheeses.
Basically, almost every food that you would encounter
as
you're shopping
pretty
is covered. And
including water, chocolate, tea, coffee, alcohol. That's on the chart as well.
Yeah. Okay, well, that just about wraps up the show today. And I want to thank all the listeners for joining us today. And I also want to thank Robert Campbell for assisting me in this show, and especially Wendy for sharing a really eye-opening story. Thank you all. See you next week.